This edition of The Standard is brought to you by the AXA Startup Angel Competition. I'm Sharmadine Reed, founder and CEO of The Stack World, and I'm here to help you turn your business dream into reality. There are six chances to win the competition, including two top prizes of £25,000, mentoring from myself and leading UK founders, plus business insurance for a year thanks to AXA. Go to standard.co.uk/AXA Startup Angel for details on how to enter and complete your entry by the 2nd of June 2024. Good luck.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. And the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers, and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
From The Standard in London, I'm the Evening Standard's chief theatre critic, Nick Curtis. This is a cut-down special taken from our theatre podcast. To hear more from The Standard Theatre podcast, hit the link in the notes of this episode. Joining me today on the Standard Theatre Podcast is Ola Ince, director of Othello at the San Wanamaker Playhouse at Shakespeare's Globe. Welcome, Ola.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
I'm okay.
Okay, jolly. I've enjoyed your work over the years. I know you've worked on the main stage here with Romeo and Juliet a couple of years back, but this is your first time in the Wanamaker Playhouse. How is that? It's the wooden candlelit theatre, we should
say. It's treating me really well.
Yeah.
It's really an adventure. There's loads to consider that I have never considered before. Mm-hmm. In terms of the lighting, is a challenge because the actors have to light themselves at all times.
Yeah.
And just this morning on the way in, I was talking to Ira Mandela Siobhan, who's subconscious Othello, about how we make him disappear.
Right.
Because he's lighting himself. We're like, we can't just do a blackout.
We should explain that at this point. So there are two Othellos in your production.
There are two Othellos.
And there's quite apart from that, there's quite a strong sort of conceptual framework for it, isn't it? Or what you've set the play.
Yes.
Tell me where you've set the play.
So this is Othello set now, 2024, inside the Metropolitan Police Force. So Othello is Detective Chief Inspector, and he is top in the ranks. And then next is Michael Cassio,
yeah.
And then Iago. And there are two Othellos in our production. There is subconscious Othello and there is Othello.
Yes.
And the idea is that subconscious Othello shows us everything that Othello has to suppress in order to be a successful black man.
How did this idea come to you, both those conceptual things? I mean, were you approached by the Globe to do Othello and did you immediately think, I know how to do this, or how did that evolve?
No, so Michelle Terry said, how do you feel about doing Othello? And I said, great. And she said, it will be in the Sam Wanamaker. And I said, perfect, because I think that space is so intimate and therefore can be so claustrophobic. It's the perfect environment for the Othello that I'd like to make, which I think should be a psychological thriller.
Right.
And that worked really well in that space. And that's as far as I had got in terms of a concept. And then I said to her, I'm thinking about the many faces of Othello. Didn't quite know what that meant. And I said, I'm thinking about everywhere all at once. And she said, yeah, do it. And I didn't know what I was doing.
Okay.
And then I said to her, maybe like we're thinking about all of the different scenarios in which someone like Othello could exist. And I dreamt up with a design team, some different scenarios. And I thought, they're not that interesting. The only scenario that really stuck and felt like it spoke really, I guess, clearly was the Metropolitan Police Force.
Right.
So I thought that's a world in which we're all aware of, sadly, right now, that misogyny can exist, that racism can exist, that patriarchy is really clear, that makes this play feel really modern.
Hmm.
And that's how I landed there.
Right. I
so
see.
From everywhere all at once to the Metropolitan Police Force.
Okay. Was there any nervousness at sort of approaching it, given that we had Giles Ferrer as Othello at the National Theatre just down the road a couple of years ago, a very sort of prominent one, the first one directed by a black director at the National. Did you feel nervous of revisiting it?
I know Clint really well, and Giles.
That's Clint Dyer, the Rose.
Yeah, Clint Dyer, and they're wonderful. And I've worked with them both before, actually, in the same production. They were both in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, and I was the assistant director on that.
That was a fantastic show.
I loved working on that.
Yeah.
And they have a very different experience of the world than I do. I'm not a black man.
Yeah.
So there was never going to be any crossover. But also, when I last worked here on Romeo and Juliet, I said to Michelle, I can't do Romeo and Juliet because it's been done all the time. And she said, that's what happens at the Globe Oil, we just do Shakespeare a lot. So that's it. Like, yeah. That's what happened. So, I mean, she offered me the job and I thought, that's the gig. You have to do the plays that have been done very recently. And when I did Romeo and Juliet, it was done about 5 times at once.
Yeah.
So I thought, I'll just have to get over it. And I guess my biggest concern, really, was about creating a production that made black actors or the black actor that was going to be in it feel unsafe.
Right.
Because there's been a lot of conversation around whether or not Othello is a play about racism or a racist play.
Yes.
And Dr. Farah, who I like to ask for advice.
Yes. That's Professor Farah Karim Cooper, Director of Education at the Globe.
She gives me books and resources to delve into, spoke a lot about previous productions where what I think is quite obvious theme of racism has been ignored, and it's instead a play about othering and not actually about race.
Right.
What psychological impact it has on the actors playing Othello. So for me, it was more about, is this a good idea, Ola? How are you going to make this play a play that obviously speaks about racism rather than just a racist play?
Yeah.
And so that's where all my concern was, really.
Right.
And that's why this production has involved a subconscious Othello.
Yes.
Because I didn't want to create an Othello that was a stereotype, which is this kind of angry, out of control black man who is a bit of a stud.
Yeah.
And that's why our Othello doesn't involve any kind of nudity or anything, because I was trying to shy away from every stereotype that kind of exists around black male bodies.
Yes.
So that was the concern.
I see. Yes, yes.
And hopefully I've achieved what I wanted to, and I haven't triggered anyone.
Right.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Right, we'll go to a break. If you want to hear more from the Standard Theatre podcast, hit the link in the show notes.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season, when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers, and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Do you feel it's very much a play for now? Do you feel things have...
Unfortunately, it's so prevalent.
Yeah.
It's so scary how prevalent it is. Mm. And the more I've had to get to grips with the world I'm trying to create, the more I'm vigilant, the more I'm aware of my safety or lack of it. So I think it's a very important play.
And in what way do you mean your safety?
Well, just more, you know, I don't live my life in fear.
Mm.
But the more you, like, know about problems within the world, or in terms of, like, how many people are vulnerable to rape or to, like, misconduct or all the bad eggs and apples in this world, the more you go, like, maybe I shouldn't walk that way home.
Or, understood, yes.
I haven't ever thought that a man could view me in this way. Or, I mean, Othello kills Desdemona because he thinks, unfaithful, and he doesn't want her to betray any other man. The fact that to him is a crime is scary.
Yeah.
And there was a murder recently in Croydon when I was working with the Brit School, unfortunately, a lot of the kids witnessed it, where a young girl was protecting her friend and she was stabbed with a machete. And the person that stabbed her had a bouquet of flowers and the machete. Oh, and God, I think that is the perfect symbol or metaphor for this production. It's either you take the flowers or you get the machete.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's what I mean about it, me being more alert to it and how scary that is.
I see what you mean. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about how you got into directing.
It happened to me one day.
Did it? Blinding flash.
When I was probably like about 14.
Yeah.
13 or 14. I did a thing. I didn't quite know what it was. And I asked my teacher and she said, that's directing. And so I decided that that was what I was going to do with the rest of my life.
Right.
So I asked my mum about it and she said, I went to the library, Ola. Here's a flyer, go to the Polka Theatre. So I joined the Polka Youth Theatre and did some acting, but it was more like you have to act so that you can direct, was my kind of thought process.
Yeah.
And then from there I went to the Brit School.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to drama school, but always from the like onset it was, I'm learning how to act so I can direct, I don't want to be an actor.
Right.
And it's, I just love discovering new worlds and I love learning and I love different cultures and learning about people, and especially love psychology. Whenever I'm here, I'm always asking to spend time with psychologists because I think humans are fascinating. And so that's what I get to do as a director. I get to be a detective and a psychologist and everything.
Mm.
And a discoverer, and I get to travel. And so
yeah,
I love it.
Yeah. Well, Ince, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Lovely to have you on.
That's The Standard. You can hear the full episode or more from The Standard Theatre podcast via the link in the show notes. This podcast will be back on Monday at 4 p.m.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season, when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now, wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.